Tuesday, March 8th, a few minutes before 11. Might be a record of this moment. We start a couple minutes before 11 o'clock. For our regular scheduled board meeting, all members are present. We'll call this meeting to order. First item, we have a motion. I need a motion to approve the list of bills as presented.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next item is a holdover from last meeting. We had skip down to the next item. We opened bids at the last meeting, and there was some differences in how they were presented, and so Steve and Betty took them to clarify some information and make sure that we were getting apples to apples before we voted to accept the particular bid. So what do you got, Steve?
As the board members recall, we had three bids submitted, and it's the first time in recent memory that we had multiple bids for our ballots. What's going on is there's more and more vendors getting involved in the process of printing ballots, and with the merger of Premier Election Systems and ESNS, they're going more of the Premier bids as well. But we received three bids, one from Advanced Ballot Solutions, who's the vendor that does our ballot-on-demand ballots and our ballot-on-demand product. We have Dayton Legal Blank and ESNS. The question last time came up to make sure we were comparing apples to apples, that all three vendors were providing the ballots on V4 paper, which is the paper that our high-speed scanner is recommended to use to maximize its production speed. And that is the case. We also verified that all three vendors would provide a test deck included in the bid, which is part of our specs, and that is the case as well. After reviewing the bids, the bid from Advanced Ballot Solution is any ballot below or up to 15 inches is 35 cents per ballot. Anything over between 16 and 19 is 37.5 cents per ballot. With the Dayton Legal blank bid, they tiered it by size and by election type from primary to general. It ranges from 30 to 32 cents for an 11-inch ballot up to 38 cents and 41 cents depending on the primary ballot. For ESNS, they had a 31 cent for 11-inch, 33 cent for 17-inch, and 34 for 18-inch. If everything's equal, the low bid would be ESNS at 31 cents per 11-inch ballot, 33 cents for 17, and 34 for 18. Now, we've never used ESNS for printing our ballots. However, they do print a lot of ballots for the state of Ohio for different counties, and there's a requirement under Ohio law that the ballots are printed in state. And they do have a printer in state that will print those. We've always used Dayton Legal Blank. They've always did a good job for us as well. And of course, our relationship with Advanced Ballot Solutions has been a very good one with our ballot on demand system. So I think everything's equal from that perspective, with the exception we've never printed with ESNS. However, they are the low bid.
Recommendation from the staff?
If the board wants to take the low bid and using a new vendor, this would be the year to do it because the volume's lower. It's an odd year. So I'd be more comfortable using a new vendor being this type of a election year. If it was a larger volume situation, I would probably want to go with one of the other two vendors that we already have relationships with and they've proven themselves. But I guess with that said, I would recommend probably the low bid to the board. Not specifically, of course, ESNS is our provider for our voting system, the merger. We have a very good working relationship with them on that. I would expect this to be a little different.
Did you have a chance to talk to anybody that's used them before?
Yeah, we talked to the other counties. Prefer ESNS, so sometimes, as you know, it's not always the lowest, it's the lowest and best bid. But in this case, I think everything is equal.
I would move.
going back to the third item, motion to certify candidates' petitions, and what I'd like to do is let's do the valid, let's do the two that appear invalid first, and then I will recognize Mr. Zrati for 2 to 3 minutes to speak before we address this. So we save this for last. Give a chance. So go ahead with the petitions that appear to be valid.
In the board member's packet, you have a report that petitions appear valid. There are 4 candidates for City of Dayton and 3 other judicial candidates for different judicial positions that met the City of Dayton threshold of 500 valid signatures. We went through all the petitions. As the board knows, we apply the same standards to all petitions, no matter what the office, what the jurisdiction. And they met all the threshold, all the provisions within the Dayton City Charter and had the 500. So I would recommend those candidates to be certified to the ballot.
Just let me make sure I understand. I just want to ask this question. Everyone that picked their ballots up here were given the same instructions, the same sheets, the same opportunities to gather their petitions from our records, correct?
If they picked them up here, that is an accurate statement. Because this is a prescribed petition from the City of Dayton. Okay. They could get it from the City of Dayton, and then they could have used it. It's not a new petition. I think this was certified or prescribed in 2003. So they could have had petitions. But if they came here, we've always provided that instruction and provided them a checklist of do's and don'ts and all the requirements and provisions.
And the voters list that we give out the same one to everybody?
The same one out of our active database, our voter registration database, yes.
Do we need a motion on the ballot?
Motion to approve the list of candidates that appears valid.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
We'll just take the invalid one at a time, starting with, if I go out of order, Ms. Williams Minus petitions, when she filed the petition, she only filed 288, I believe, so she was going in below the threshold within the Dayton City Charter. And we explained to her, I think Betty did, that you know she would not be in a way mathematically that she could be certified to the ballot. And I think she made the comment she owed it to the individuals that actually signed her petition to attempt to file, and she did pay the filing fee and everything. However, she did not have sufficient amount of signatures. She did have 211 out of those 288 signatures as valid. She did not receive enough signatures. So I would recommend for not being certified to the ballot.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The second set of, second candidate on the list is for Mr. Ely. Mr. Ely filed at the last minute. He did file 800 signatures, and he did only have 263 valid. We went through the petitions again, as I mentioned earlier. The same standards apply to all petitions, and we applied those standards and went through. And we only had 263 valid signatures. Therefore, below the threshold of the requirements under the Dayton City Charter.
How many did you turn in?
800.
I would move that we not certify Mr. Ely for.
Second.
Aye.
Thank you much. I really appreciate this opportunity to speak to you, and I don't have problems with the findings of the Board of Elections, although there are some things that I think are questionable in terms of how a circulator is supposed to verify a signature as a valid signature. Because it says right on the petition that it is a fifth-degree felony to sign incorrect, you know, to falsify on this election piece. And nobody ever gets prosecuted with a fifth-degree felony. But what we have going on here is we have 3 sets of laws causing us to have this situation. We have federal laws which build a voter list that contains a lot of voters that are no longer on the rolls. And I am all for keeping people registered at will, but when I am given petitions and I walk, I'm given the voter logs and I walk, and I go and knock on a door that says there's somebody that voted in 09 or 10, which is what I generally do, and they come to the door and they sign, I expect that signature to be good. And I skip the doors where the last time they voted was 08 or 06 or 04. So my percentage should be significantly higher. I should not have to spend as much time because this is a very time-consuming process, especially in the months of January and February. And as you see, some of the petitions that were turned in have petitions going back months before that, back into the fall. This process has, in the last 18 years, given us zero primaries. This process is a combination of federal, state, and city laws, and the city laws at the root, this is the only jurisdiction that requires 500 signatures. And I think all of you are aware you can run for United States Congress with 50. You can run for county commissioner with 50. 500 is a very high threshold, and we're seeing that people who've gone out and gotten 800, and this is not his first time at doing this, still only get in 263 ballot. There were something like 14 people that pulled petitions this round. You had 7 turn in, and I must hand it to Ms. Minus that she recognizes the validity of these people's signatures and their part in contributing to the democratic process. But I want to get to the fundamental root here. In the United States, in the very First Amendment to our Constitution, the right to petition government is as core a value as there is. And because we carry over 100,000 voters in this city, and our city charter, which requires this 500 signatures, also requires to put a petition government to get a change in this rule, 10% of registered voters to sign. And if we go by the standard that's applied with adding another 20 to 30% of signatures, we are making it impossible to change the charter unless you get elected. And what we have is a self-fulfilling prophecy where the people who are in office and in power stay in power, and it does not change. We don't have primaries. We can't bring issues to the ballot. We can't change our form of government. And because of this standard of 500, we are seeing the democratic process subverted. Ohio Revised Code has all kinds of stipulations for petitioning government, including a percentage of the last general election turnout, a much more reasonable number to get a petition circulated to change this process. This is not the first time I've been here in this room, but I have no way of changing this process. They've gone through 2 charter revisions, and this has not been addressed. At some point, we have to look at federal law, which guarantees 2 things, equal protection and the right to petition government. We have to look at state law, which has laws that we fall back upon, which have percentage rules of the last general election, not these numbers based on total registered voters. And then we have to look at the charter itself. And the charter itself is subverting the democratic process, and that this 500 signature requirement has not been met by enough candidates to get on the ballot in 18 years. You've turned away more candidates. The only people who are guaranteed to get on the ballot every time are incumbents. And I want to point out one other thing. When you look at the incumbents' petitions, and I've said this repeatedly, and I've brought this up several other times, we have other elected officials circulating their petitions. And that is something the Hatch Act says should not be done. In fact, I say that that what we have is what I call the monarchy of Montgomery County at work to make sure that only certain people have access to the ballot and others don't. It is a very high standard to meet, and I think we have to look as a board if that we ignore Ohio Revised Code, we ignore the Constitution, and we keep saying this is okay. We have to tell the city at some point that they have to change either their petitioning process for the office or their petitioning process to change the laws because they are in violation of other laws above the laws of this city.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
And I just want to make a brief comment. We're the Board of Elections. We have to follow Ohio law. We have to file city ordinance. We can't change city charter, state law, federal law. We have to follow law. And I understand some of the concerns and things you pointed out. This seems like this is not the place to, you know, if you can put a charter amendment on, you can do all kind of things to fix this, and we'll follow whatever those rules are. So,
At this point, I cannot put that charter amendment on, though. And that is the issue.
Well, and we can't either.
And I understand that, but I want you to be informed, and I want it to be on the record with the Board of Elections, so that when and if this comes, that it's been discussed. That's all. Thank you.
I don't want the record to reflect that incumbents are guaranteed that their petitions will be accepted. We review incumbent petitions the same way we do everybody else's. And if you look at this year, we have two incumbents which had sufficient amount of signatures and two non-incumbents that did not.
Right,
and
pick that up.
The non-incumbents are not part of, I assume you mean the Democratic Party when you're referring to the monarchy, or perhaps just some people within the Democratic Party. They're not part of it. So.
I would like to take that back. But.
Everybody has the same opportunity. I don't disagree that 500 is a large amount, but that's something you have to take up with the city, not with us. We have followed the law, and I think we are.
But I will also want to say that in this community, I've been chased out of public meetings, public spaces, in collecting petitions, where I know that public officials are granted easy access. The standard of where you can collect petitions varies on who you are.
Mr. Hart. With all that said, we have the set of petitions for Mr. Ezrati. Mr. Ezrati filed only 544 signatures total. We went through, and again, to reemphasize that the same standards that we applied to all the other set of petitions were applied to Mr. Ezrati's. We confirmed with Mr. Danish, the law director of the city of Dayton, of the prior legal opinions that we have on file, that we did apply the standards that are within the Dayton City Charter and the opinions that they've issued over the recent years. We did have, again, with all sets of petitions, we went through and had three checks done on them, three different staff members to verify the not registered, to make sure that the proper research was done to verify that. And as the spirit of this board has always been, if there was any question, we always give it the benefit of the doubt to the signer, to the voter, or to the candidate, and I think that was done here. With the exception of six signatures that I'd like to present to the board that after we went through the triple check, Betty and I sat down and went line item by line item or signature by signature to verify the staff's work, because this candidate is, you know, within 50 of the threshold within the city of Dayton Charter. So I'd like to present those to the board one by one, if I may. This signature here appears to be printed on there, so there's no way we can verify it. But when you look at the signature, there's a couple of the, like the A and N may be connected, but it on the surface, it doesn't match. But upon close examination, you may be able to decipher one or two letters that do match. And I want to present that to the board for if you agree with accepting that as a signature.
Did you accept it or not?
The three staff members did not, and when Betty and I reviewed each and every one, we thought the board should make a ruling on these six, because there may be a letter or two that could be determined that is that individual. They are registered at that address that they was placed on the ballot or on the petition, and the only thing we can't verify, which is the primary role of the Board of Elections in this process, if that individual truly did sign that based on the documentation that we have.
Right. I would move that we accept that.
And second that.
Okay. The second one here.
We have to do them across.
Do you want to do
them one at a time?
Even though it's kind of printed, kind of written, the letters are kind of the same, and you verified it, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
I think we're in a gray area that we have some discretion, and it's a case-by-case kind of thing, so all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Second one, primarily the middle initial, but maybe even the D in the first name. That one's maybe not so close, at least.
Is the address accurate?
Everything's accurate, with the exception of the mostly printed. But and some of the signatures, we went as far as getting the previous three signatures, the last three times they voted, to see, because as you know, you may be signing on a table compared to a clipboard or something,
right,
and it's going to vary some, but I mean, these are so far, it's a big stretch to accept them. That's why we're bringing it before the board. And primarily on that one, the L in the middle initial and maybe the D is the only thing that Betty and I could even, as a big stretch, to even compare.
One of the A's, the 1A looks similar. I don't care if you accept that.
Will these six make we have them at 451, so if all six were accepted, he would be at 457.
That's true, it's just...
And one thing that we try to do, if I could just provide a little background information, we apply the same standards, so, you know, if we would count this on another petition... You know, that's what we need to.
And our three staff review
said no. Right. So I guess I'd stick with the staff on that. So a motion to not accept.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The third signature, primarily the in Tracy, the A, C, and Y potentially could be connected and similar, but the rest of it is printed. It doesn't match. I think it's apparent, I mean, the scrutiny that we put under it's tough to validate some of these.
The motion not to accept.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. On this one, primarily the EEMAN of Freeman potentially matches.
It is by statute on printing, correct? Is it?
Correct.
Case law.
Within the statute, in definition of signature, it is cursive style, and or what is filed with the Board of Election is their legal mark. In fact, we sat down with Mr. Ezrati prior to this meeting, and he looked at another set of petitions, and we did validate a printed signature from another candidate, because that printed signature is what we have on file. So we did
file. So it's very subject to print on file.
Yeah, correct. Very cursive-like signature on that one. And we did verify with Mr. Danish that because of the language on the petition in the candidate statement and the circulator statement, that signature is required to be, what's their legal signature versus file.
Motion not to.
I was going to do the other.
Really?
Yeah. You're both cursive.
That's cursive. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do that part. Okay.
Yeah.
These,
see, I mean,
these are not anything alike.
Well, yeah.
The N is not anything alike.
It's close enough for horseshoe.
It's not even, look at how it's not even A, where do you get any connection there?
I don't think it's perfect, but I just think it's fine. I would need to accept it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
This one is probably a bigger stretch than any of them.
Is it?
So.
For sure. Look at the bottom.
That's
good. Horseshoes close enough?
I would not accept that one. It's not even close.
It's not even close. How can you get
the candidate so far?
Sorry.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Yes, we got to vote. Are you voting or not voting?
You haven't asked for nays.
Okay, any nays?
Nay.
Okay. All right, we got a tie vote. Do it again. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Nays?
Nay.
Nay. Third time, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
I don't think
nays.
This is one of those things that goes off, but it's nay.
Okay.
Okay. So, my opinions are made establishing precedent where you have.
Yeah, and I don't want to establish a precedent where I accept every chicken scratch.
Yeah,
it looks like that. We've always erred on the side of exception as opposed to denying.
Well, that one wasn't even close.
Yes.
And this is the biggest stretch of all, I think.
The stretch.
The J. May potentially have the first name, but I mean, that's the only thing that we could.
That's where we could.
That's what I would say. After that exercise, I'd like to amend the report to update Mr. Atrati's ballot count to 453 and present that to the board and recommend not to certify his petitions due to not having sufficient amount of signatures under the provisions of the charter of the city of Dayton.
Motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All favor?
Aye.
Aye. Director's comments. You want me to talk about those?